Welcome back. This is Tammy Bang Liu. In 1987, federal agents with guns drawn stormed the Los Angeles homes of student activists for Palestinian self-determination to become known as the Los Angeles Eight. They were accused of being associated with the Popular Front for the Liberation of Palestine. The State Department then used the 1954 McCarran-Walker Act to try to charge these eight activists with association with the communist groups. Going in and out of courts in several different levels, they haven't been able to be charged or found guilty of any of the cases. But now two of the Los Angeles Eight, Hadar Hamad and Michelle Shahade, are being threatened with deportation again. And the State Department, under the Homeland Security, are using their case as a test case for the provision in the Patriot Act. This case marks the first time the government has enforced a Patriot Act provision enabling foreign nationals to be deported for their support of quote-unquote terrorist groups, which the State Department broadly defines as two or more persons who has threatened to use or used a weapon to endanger persons or properties. So we have with us on the telephone Michelle Shahade, who is on the board of the Los Angeles Orange County chapter of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee and a spokesperson for the Free Palestine Alliance. Good afternoon, Michelle.
Good afternoon.
Before we talk about the outcomes of the recent court hearing on December 3rd, give our listeners a sense. At this particular stage in the case, are the provisions of the McCarran-Walker Act, a 1951 Cold War Act, or is a provision in the Patriot Act being used for this case? And what's the significance of that? So how do you understand this to be the test case? And what's the strategy that the State Department is using?
Well, actually, for your first question, the both provisions of both acts are invoked by the government right now, the McCarran-Walker Act and the Patriot Act. And so we're charged under two acts right now. And the McCarran-Walker Act has been deemed unconstitutional and has been repealed by the Congress since 1990, or actually 1989. The McCarran-Walker Act was repealed. And the government still uses it as a tool to charge us and deport us. And 2 months ago, they invoked the Patriot Act, the provisions of the Patriot Act, in addition to the McCarran-Walker Act. And this is the status of the case right now.
So what are the specifics under the McCarran-Walker Act that you've been charged with, and what's the relevance of this as a test case for upholding the Patriot Act?
Well, if you follow the case from the beginning, you will find that we started under provisions of the McCarran-Walker Act that talked about, they were charging us, and quote-unquote from the act, that we were members of an affiliate of an organization that distributed literature, and that literature advocated the doctrines of international communism and the economic international. This is what the first provision said, whatever that means, you know. And the courts have decided that these provisions are unconstitutional. So the government turned around and charged us under another provision of the McCarran-Walker Act, which said that we belong to an organization or an affiliate of an organization that distributed literature, and that literature advocated the destruction of private property and the assassination of public officials. And if you notice from the language of the provisions, that is not that we've done that, that we distributed literature, and that the literature advocated that. So it's about literature. And then that provision has been deemed unconstitutional, and also the Congress repealed the McCarran-Walker Act after that. So the government turned around and charged us under the 1990 Immigration Act. Then after that, they charged us again under the 1996 Anti-Terrorism Act, and now under Patriot Act. And if you notice, every time there is a new act or law, they charge us under that to test the provisions of the law and see what kind of results they get in court, and then they can go back to the Congress and ask the Congress to add or amend or enact new provisions to deal with their loss in court. So that's, in that sense, it was a test case to set a precedent, legal precedent, so they can, in the future, grab immigrants who are active or undesirable to the government and deport them without going to court. In that sense, this case is a test case.
Yeah.
And now they're doing that with the Patriot Act, testing the provisions of the Patriot Act for the same reason.
And even though the former FBI director, William Webster, conceded that none of the LA had ever engaged in criminal activity and that had they been citizens, there wouldn't have been a basis for your arrest.
Despite that, after 16 years, the government has not presented a shred of evidence that we've done anything wrong. If we've done something wrong, we would have been in a criminal court or something else. The fact that the government is going through an immigration court to deport us testifies that they don't have anything against us except our opinions and our thoughts and our political views. So this case has been political from the beginning. It still is a political case, and it's about our ideas and our views vis-a-vis the Middle East, vis-a-vis the U.S. policy in the Middle East, and vis-a-vis the Palestinian struggle.
This case has huge implications for immigrant rights and the freedom of speech. Tell us, you just had a recent hearing December 3rd. What was the outcome of that hearing?
Well, in that hearing, the government asked to continue the case, to postpone it, and the judge granted them that. So we have another hearing next year in February.
So the State Department is trying to buy themselves more time. What's it been like to live under constant uncertainty? We're talking about 16 years with the threat and real fear of deportation. I mean, for the last 16 years, what's been the impact on your family, and how has it shaped your everyday life?
Well, we take it one day at a time. But what it did is basically the uncertainty and the danger of being removed and uprooted and thrown out. Is really a disrupting thing in our lives, because you cannot look in the future, you cannot plan for the future, because you keep thinking, if I do that, and what happens if I get deported? The threat of breaking our family, because if they, my kids are, one of them is in college right now, and the other one is in high school. And we cannot just, take off and go somewhere else. So the constant uncertainty, the constant danger of being as a family breaking up is not really easy. And it's tough, but we're hanging in there, and we decided from the beginning that this is a struggle that we're going to go through. It's important. It's important to us as a family, but also is important to the country, to the immigrants, to the civil rights, and to all the people who are struggling to make this society a better society. So we're taking it one day at a time, and we'll go through it.
So have you been able to persevere, and what keeps you going?
Well, what keeps me going is, first of all, that I have done nothing wrong, the belief that all I did is use the Constitution, the First Amendment, to speak up against U.S. policy in the Middle East, because I think it's the wrong policy. I also wanted to explain to the society here, to the American public, the facts of the Palestinian struggle as I know it, try to present the Palestinian people through Palestinian eyes, as they see themselves, as we see ourselves, and not as we are presented by somebody else in this society. The Palestinians have negatively been presented, falsely being presented, and we want to tell our story, and we want to tell it in our own way, our own narrative, our own words, and it seems that that was kind of got the government, not happy about the fact that we're challenging their views about the Middle East. And they want their views only to be presented to the American public.
Yeah.
And that keeps me going. Also, the strength of our family, we're close, and we're together. and also the support of the community, not just the Arab American community, but all the progressive community, the immigrant rights community, the civil libertarians, churches. Everybody is on our side. There is nobody else on the government side in this case. That's a source of strength, and it keeps us going.
Folks that are interested in helping out with this case, what are some of the tactics that you're using? I've heard delegations of going to specific Congress people to send letters to the Department of Homeland Security urging them to drop this case. How can people get involved, and what are some numbers to contact you?
Well, we are in the process of finishing forming the Committee for Justice, which is reviving, actually, the Committee for Justice, which was established at the beginning of the case. And we are right now waging a campaign, going to elected officials and asking them to sign a letter to Tom Ridge from Homeland Security, asking him to drop the case after 16 years and because of the nonsense of this case. This is our first campaign. We will be waging other campaigns. We're going to put out a newsletter and a website very soon to explain the details of the case and put information out for people who want it. So in that sense, we need help in people asking their own representatives to sign this letter and to get a copy of this letter and more information. They can call me. People can call me on my cell phone. 909-907-7308. We are in the process of establishing a number for the Committee for Justice, but for now that phone works.
So for our listeners who are interested in the Committee for Justice, again, that number is 909-907-7308. Thank you so much, Michel.
Thank you.
You have a great afternoon.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We are the one.